Chapter 10. Two very young Marines escorted Hicks to the meeting room, where he was surprised to see that anti-bugging security hadn't changed at all in the years he'd been gone. The large, mirrored bubble dominating the bear chamber was exactly like the one he'd been in back when his squad received the assignment to LV-426. "Just go on in, Corporal Hicks," the Marine on his left opened the outer door of the airlock-style entrance for him. Her name tag said Beauchamp. Her squad probably called her B-Champs, or maybe Bew-Champs. "Everyone's waiting for you, Corporal," the other Marine added. He was a tall, beefy guy labeled Volkov. They probably called him Volvo. "Let him wait." The words were on the tip of his tongue, but Hicks knew if he made trouble, these two would answer for it. God, they were so young. B-Champs looked about 12, and despite his size, so did Volvo. "Copy that," Hicks said. Then he hesitated outside the airlock-style door. "You two, watch your six, okay?"
"Soon as we see yours, get inside, Corporal," Beauchamp said cheerfully, which made him laugh in spite of himself. The first door closed with a whispered shh. Hicks stood in the area between the doors with his feet apart and his hands clasped over his head as a scanner checked him for spyware and whatever else was currently on Anchor Point's bad shit list. It took longer than he'd expected. Either they didn't trust him, or he had underestimated their level of paranoia. Probably both. The door in front of him finally blinked green, the whole door, not just a light. Pretty showy, he thought. Five people were seated at an enormous round table, but Colonel Rossetti was the only one Hicks recognized, and only from a photo. The colonel had sent an artificial person to handle his debrief, and Hicks had been waiting for some kind of response ever since. The people on Rossetti's right were probably high up in the civilian government, while the two on his left were pure company, through and through. The body language was unmistakable. Mr. and Ms. Smiley Q. Cheerful, of the perfectly tanned and dentally gifted Cheerful Dynasty. Not that they'd be married or even just good friends. Off duty, they probably couldn't stand each other. But they were good little worker bees doing their job as the company's public face, all shiny and confident. Because at the end of the day, Weyland Yutani always called the shots, and these two were here to make sure everybody towed the line. Hicks snapped to attention and saluted. The colonel stood to return the salute.
"At ease, Corporal Hicks."
He gestured toward the single chair placed 90 degrees to the right of his own. Hicks obeyed.
"My name is Rossetti, station's military attaché."
Hudson's goofy, insubordinate face suddenly appeared in his mind. The ghosts in his head were showing up more often since he'd visited Ripley, ambushing him in such vivid detail it was like seeing them in person.
"This is Dr. Adele Trent, chief of our exobiology division," the colonel told Hicks, glancing at the woman on his immediate right.
She nodded politely. Hicks thought she looked more like a Ramirez or a Vasquez, and there she was, looking him right in his mind's eye. "Not me familia, Vato."
"And Werner Schumann of the Diplomatic Corps," Rossetti added.
Schumann didn't so much nod as twitch a little without smiling.
Some diplomat, Hicks thought. Maybe he was new at this.
Rossetti turned to the overtanned couple on his left side.
"And this is
Kevin Fox, Corporal,"
Mr. Fake Tan said. His expensive clothes apparently made him too good to be polite to military rabble, even if the rabble was a colonel. Right on cue, Lieutenant Gorman's too serious baby face was there in his brain. The CO had had a corn cob up his ass, and his combat experience had all been simulated. The image was accompanied by the faint echo of Vasquez's last words as they had come to Hicks via the crazy acoustics in the air duct.
"You always were an asshole, Gorman."
Too good to eat with his squad, but good enough to die with Vasquez.
"My associate, Susan Wells, and I are with the company," Fox went on, as if it weren't obvious. "We'd like to congratulate you on a successful mission."
"Successful?" Hicks gave a single harsh laugh. "I lost my entire squad."
He glanced at Rossetti to see how he was taking this. The colonel was stone-faced. So why should he care how Rossetti felt, Hicks thought, remembering that he was done with authority, although this was definitely not the time to announce his new approach to life. It would just inspire the company stooges to spout hours of corporate bullshit. No one would thank him for that. Rossetti might even shoot him. Sergeant Appone popped up in his mind, glared at him for a moment, then disappeared.
But you returned, the Wells stooge gushed at him, and you rescued the colony's sole survivor. No small thing by any measure.
Rossetti picked up a flexi screen on the table in front of him.
We've all read the transcript of your debriefing, Corporal. Then maybe you can answer my question,
Hicks said before he could stop himself.
Where's Bishop?
Pause.
Sir.
Rossetti's commanding officer mask slipped for a second, revealing his wariness before he recovered his stone face.
We've tabled that for now.
The colonel made it sound like it was an order, but Hicks saw him flick a glance at the company stooges. Why would he care how they felt? Hicks's opinion of Rossetti fell a few notches.
After reading the transcript, I've got some questions for the corporal, Dr. Trent piped up. Are you absolutely certain you have nothing more to tell us about the alien's life cycle?
We need as much detail as possible. Detail is crucial.
I've just told you that subject is classified, Rossetti said before Hicks could reply. The corporal's security rating would have to be upped considerably before we can discuss this with him.
Hicks blinked. Had the old man really just said that?
I've already told you everything I know, Dr. Trent. Every crucial detail.
Corporal Hicks, Rossetti started, a warning in his tone.
No, let him speak, Fox said. After all, he is the only one in the room who's actually seen these creatures in action.
There was something weird about the way he talked, Hicks thought. Like he was reading news headlines.
You ordered that subject be classified, Rossetti said, almost snapping. Or does maximum security mean something different now?
Dr. Trent shook her head.
I'm sorry, but I really don't think Corporal Hicks is being completely truthful when he says he doesn't know anything more than what he's already told us. But perhaps not deliberately, she added to Hicks, looking apologetic. In any situation, human observers overlook things without realizing it. On the other hand, the synthetic, Bishop, was designed for meticulous scientific observation. The Hyperdyne A5 model is, in effect, a walking archive.
Corporal Hicks has been asking the right questions from the beginning, Wells put in.
She looked company, smug, a characteristic company expression, what Hicks's mother had referred to as a house face. Rossetti's stony look became a glower.
To answer your previous question, Corporal Hicks, he said stiffly, we aren't certain.
Translation? Nobody's got a fucking clue, and it's so classified you're not supposed to know even that much. Sergeant Al Appone's face reappeared to Hicks's inner eye, complete with cigar.
Another glorious day in the Corps. Every paycheck a fortune, every meal a banquet. I love the Corps.
Wells leaned forward, her company smile even brighter.
Uncertainty doesn't mean we can't guess, does it, Colonel?
Hicks's chuckle was humorless. Bust someone's balls for violating maximum security and then keep talking around the big secret. That was chutzpah in the first degree. Unless the company's meat puppets really didn't know what maximum security meant. Or maybe since LV-426, all bets were off.
So don't stop now. Go ahead and guess, Hicks said in a simple tone that was actually his normal speaking voice.
It always made shifty characters like these two assume he knew less than he did.
You go first. I'm dying to hear it. By the way, where's Bishop?
Wells and Fox looked at each other. Her nod was barely perceptible.
Bishop is currently being held at Radina Station, Fox said, looking around to see everyone else's reaction to this information.
Hicks needed a couple of seconds to get it.
You mean the UPP?
He laughed a little in disbelief.
What the hell have they got to do with this?
The Sulaco's navigation system glitched. Rossetti's weary tone had an edge in it.
You were in UPP territory for 119 minutes. Ordinarily, the UPP would have responded to this with threats, accusing us of a treaty violation, but for some reason they didn't.
He paused, and Hicks knew he didn't want to talk about this with the company power couple in the room.
The Sulaco's event log shows that during this time it was boarded covertly. But still, we've heard nothing from Rodina. Nihil, nada, zilch.
Werner Schumann cleared his throat loudly, as if reminding everyone he was in the room.
In diplomatic terms, Corporal Hex, the UPP have our diplomatic ass in a diplomatic sling. If, no, when they respond to the Sulaco's breach of their borders as a hostile act, and let me assure you, Colonel Rossetti, they'll do so at a time as inconvenient as possible for us, it will seriously compromise our position in negotiations for arms reduction. The communications time lag to and from Earth is a week each way, meaning we'd have a 2-week wait for policy clarification. Not helpful in the middle of a major crisis. There will be grave consequences for all sides.
Hicks blinked incredulously. Did Schumann really think telling everyone what they already knew displayed his diplomatic acumen? Fortunately, we've arrived with a policy brief, Ambassador, Wells said in a breezy tone. I believe you've already seen it. My partner and I are here to implement it.
Rossetti stared into the middle distance somewhere over Hicks's shoulder. The UPP incident predates your orders. This change in circumstances
doesn't change the job we were sent here to do, Fox said confidently. And we will do it.
Do you really not understand the situation? Schumann threw up both hands in exasperation, and for a moment Hicks thought he was going to start tearing his hair out.
Doing your job involves a very strong potential for interstellar war, starting here between us and Rodina Station.
Fox started to say something, but Rossetti was already talking over him.
Any further questions for Corporal Hicks? The colonel didn't wait for an answer. No? In that case, Corporal, you're dismissed.
Hicks jumped to his feet and saluted, then made a perfect about-face and all but ran for the door.